Chapter 3. The screeches around me seemed to dull as I stared at the beautiful cat girl. Her golden eyes looked me up and down, and I was suddenly very aware of how stained my sneakers were. I tried to tame my dark blonde hair slightly as I ran a hand through it, but I had a feeling it wasn't doing any good. Her revealing outfit was difficult not to stare at, and I focused hard on meeting her gaze. "Hello," I said after a moment. "I'm Liam." I wasn't sure if I was expecting a meow or a human reply, but she stayed silent as she watched me. The faint abs outlined on her stomach told me this woman was incredibly fit, and I glanced at her blade as I gripped my book. She didn't have any gold or jewels, and the only accessory she wore was a black collar-like choker necklace around her neck. All of these factors told me she wasn't one of those rich fuckers strolling around. But I kept my guard up as I waited for a reply.
"You were fighting gremlins,"
she said, and her voice had a raspy quality that almost sounded like a purr. "Is that what those things were?" I asked. "Yeah, I did what I could. They're violent little fuckers."
"Yes,"
she replied quietly.
"I've never seen anyone kill them with a book before. Is that your favorite weapon?"
I said. "No. It does the job, but I think something sharper would probably work better. How did you see that anyway?"
"I've been watching you,"
she replied with a hint of a grin.
"Your clothes are strange. I could spot you from miles away."
"The sneakers are normally clean," I said, as I tried to wipe gremlin blood onto the grass with my foot.
"Sneaker,"
the woman repeated.
"Hmm."
She had a playfulness to her voice, but her golden eyes were dangerous and wild. I could see that she wasn't sure what to make of me, and she started to pace around me slowly, like I was a trapped mouse.
"You are not a leviathan,"
she said quietly.
"Or an elf, or a dwarf, or a warlock. What are you?"
"A human," I said. "Just a guy."
"A guy human,"
the woman purred.
"What is this?"
I wasn't entirely sure what to say to that, and I was now positive that there weren't any more people like me in this world. So much for sneaking into the city without raising any suspicion. The cat girl stopped in front of me again, but she was smiling properly now. Her full lips parted to reveal two sharp little fangs among her top row of teeth, and they were super crazy cute, even though they looked like they could probably pierce my jugular with ease.
"I'm Cleo,"
she said in that almost purr of hers.
"Liam, are we going to fight?"
"Fight?" I asked. "No, hopefully not. I'm just here to explore. I don't want any trouble. Those gremlins attacked me first. That's the only reason I killed them."
"Hmm."
The woman tilted her head as she studied me, and her nose wrinkled adorably as her golden eyes flickered up and down my frame. "Why would we fight?" I asked.
"Where exactly are you from?"
Cleo asked, as she put her hands on her hips and ignored the question. "L.A., I said. "Los Angeles? Well, Ohio, originally. Earth?"
"Is that over the sea?"
Cleo asked.
"I have never heard of this Earth land."
"Not really," I said. "Kind of, but no. It's another place entirely, with its own sky and species."
"Hmm,"
Cleo said.
"You guy humans are mysterious. Good looking, too. It will be a shame if I have to slit your throat."
"You really won't," I said hurriedly. "I promise I won't hurt you. Look, all I have is a book. It works on gremlins, but I have a feeling you're a better fighter than them." Cleo laughed, and her black tail flicked from side to side as she did. Her tone was playful, but I still felt tense as she eyed me up. I imagine this was what it felt like to be a gazelle that's just been cornered by a lion. "So," I said as I tried to lighten the mood. Could you maybe tell me about this place?
I could, I suppose.
Cleo said.
What would you like to know?
Everything, I shrugged. What's this world called? How big is it? What the fuck are those big flying things with all the gold hanging off them? And why are they dickheads to everyone?
That is quite a lot of questions.
Cleo purred with a raised eyebrow.
Do you really not know where you are? Did you hit your head on a rock?
It's hard to explain, I said. But I'm... from another world? I have no clue what's going on here, and I just want to know what all these... things are.
Another world?
The cat girl's eyes got even wider, as if she couldn't comprehend this.
What do you...
There was a nearby scream, and I spun around to see that a dwarf was running from two of the spear-wielding guards. The bearded man stood no chance, despite his solid effort at escape, and he was grabbed by each arm as his pursuers caught up. Then he fell back as they started to pull him along the ground, and his face reddened as he fought against their grasp.
No! The dwarf snarled. That scaly bastard took the meat before I could cook it properly! That's why he got sick! I tried to stop him!
The guards ignored him as they dragged him off down the filthy cobblestones. I winced as the bearded man's back scraped against the ground.
I swear it! The dwarf said. My meat stall has never gotten anyone ill before! It would have been cooked through if he hadn't just grabbed it and shoved it into a slimy mouth! Please!
It seemed like just about anything could get you wanted by the officials around here. And we watched in silence as the struggling dwarf was taken around the next corner. His screams died out as he was taken off to wherever they held prisoners. And I wondered what the punishment system was like here. Poor guy, I mumbled. I've worked out that there's some kind of serious tier system with the power and wealth here. Some of these creatures get to stroll around like they own the place, and the rest of them get the shit kicked out of them by the guards if they argue.
Yes.
Cleo sighed, and she stroked the end of her tail as if she was comforting herself.
It has been that way for all of my life.
So, like, 20-ish years? I asked. 25?
I'm 102.
Cleo said with a raised eyebrow. In cat years? I asked as I stared at her youthful face.
In Hollowfell years,
Cleo replied.
That's what we call our world. But I'm still curious how you don't know that. You talk of other worlds, but this is the world.
Yeah, I muttered and rubbed the back of my neck. It's kind of hard to explain. I honestly don't know how this works either. But this is Hollowfell. That's good to know. And how big is it? The catwoman studied me for a moment, and her golden eyes flickered over my jeans as she frowned. I hadn't seen anyone walking around in denim, and I knew my clothes were enough reason for her to want to speak to me in the first place. Apparently, I was the oddity around here. But I could understand her hesitation. If some weird-looking guy had walked in front of me yesterday blabbing about other worlds, I would have crossed to the other side of the street.
Hollowfell is a vast world,
Cleo said slowly.
It's too big to describe. You could spend many lifetimes exploring it all. There are too many realms to name, and there are thousands upon thousands of towns and cities. It was once apparently so beautiful, but I don't remember that far back.
What do you mean? I asked. What happened?
The downfall,
Cleo said with a slight hiss to her tone.
That was when the world changed. Have you really never heard of this?
None of it, I said. What was the downfall, exactly? Cleo glanced over her shoulder into the gloomy black trees, and she gestured for me to step a bit further away from the edge of the woodland. We shuffled back a few trees, so the city streets were still visible, but we were more concealed by the darkness and twisting branches. An orange bug scuttled across my shoes, and I felt a small droplet of rain as the electric green and purple sky swirled.
All of Vel used to work fairly,
Cleo said.
The world operated smoothly, and all stories of the old life are so happy and dreamlike.
Did your family tell you these stories? I asked.
They did,
Cleo said softly.
A long time ago, farms were worked by generations of families. They would pile their wares up onto carts every day to take to the markets. Stores and apothecaries were full and busy. Everyone made enough to get by. And the taverns were crammed and filled with music at the end of each evening.
That's not what things are like now, I said, as I glanced toward the grimy city. It looks awful.
There were beings that didn't like it,
Cleo said.
Evil, vile, greedy creatures. They joined forces to rise up and wage war on every worker. Nobody was prepared for such a huge fight, and the evil ones stole and hoarded all the riches and magic they could.
So, what are the huge things? I asked. Those ones that can barely fly with so much gold on them.
Gargoyles,
Cleo said.
There is one family in particular that is the most wealthy in Stormgulf.
Is that this city? I asked, and the catwoman nodded.
Duke and Duchess Sobler,
Cleo said with a sour face.
The most repulsive creatures you will ever meet.
She spat as she spoke, and I got the impression she had some kind of personal grievance with the rich family. Learning about real-life gargoyles was blowing my mind, but I tried to stay focused on the facts. They live in the city? I asked. The gargoyles?
Some do,
Cleo replied.
But the Duke and Duchess live on an island out by the coves. That's where they hoard all of their riches. Stolen riches. Piles of it they couldn't possibly even keep track of.
I wondered how much they had exactly, and my mind started to wander to the image of a whole island covered in gold. Knowing that these beings were evil would make it a hell of a lot easier on my conscience to take from them. What about those snake guys? I asked. Who are they?
Those guys?
Cleo said.
They are Leviathan guys. Part man and part snake. They can shift whenever they like, so you have to be very careful around them. All of them are incredibly sneaky. They could be watching you at any time.
I glanced down at the ground around us and shuddered at the thought of a snake man staring out from the darkness.
They live out by the farmlands,
Cleo said.
Leviathans took over the fields and crops during the downfall. Now, they get all the wealth that was once shared by those working families.
There was a sudden, ear-piercing cackle that echoed out over the trees, and the sound of a horse's hooves slowly moved over the cobblestones. I looked toward the city to see the same skinny horse I'd seen in the market trot by with the silver carriage in tow. The two women inside were screeching with laughter, and the poor animal pulling them looked like each movement was pure agony. Its thin legs rattled over the cobblestones as the passengers in the carriage shrieked with glee.
Banshees,
Cleo hissed as the vehicle rolled down the next street.
They own all the apothecaries now. That way the witches can't help the poor folk with any potions that could start an uprising.
I had thousands of questions about everything, but I was now very aware of how unarmed I was in this world. There had been some kind of war, and it was clear that these evil beings had no problem with being needlessly violent. My book might be good for squashing gremlins, but I didn't want to end up face to face with a gargoyle without anything to defend myself. I shuddered as the banshee's laughter carried out over the trees, and I glanced behind me to check for watching eyes or hidden snake men. A group of the spear-wielding guards raced by just a few yards away from us as they ran around the perimeter of Stormgulf, and I pressed myself against a tree until they were gone. I wanted to head back to the doorway to find some more supplies. But I also didn't want to leave Cleo. She was fascinating, as well as stunning, and I loved listening to her talk. Her almost purr was like having velvet stroke my eardrums, and the way her otherworldly eyes glinted with such ferocity was hard to look away from. But mostly, this world was clearly dangerous, and I wanted to know everything I could about it so I knew how to navigate my way around. "Where do you live?" I asked. "Here in Stormgulf?"
"Of course not,"
Cleo frowned.
"That would be so dangerous."
"Guards!"
A voice suddenly rattled out nearby, and Cleo immediately crouched down into the shadows. I ducked down beside her as she stared at the sky, and I looked up to see an extra-huge gargoyle woman flying around the outskirts of the city. She had a blonde wig that stuck out at odd angles, and her huge body was covered with a white fur coat. Red lipstick was smeared over her squashed snout, and each of her arms was crammed full of golden bracelets and diamond rings.
"Duchess Sobler,"
Cleo breathed as she recoiled even further.
"Guards!"
The gargoyle spluttered.
"I told you I want a new trophy! You aren't looking hard enough! My display room is looking empty, and I shall not be made a fool of!"
A group of the frog-legged men hurried down the cobbled street with their spears waving, and I wondered what kind of trophy she was looking for. It sounded like she was hunting for something specific, and I wished I could get a glimpse of the treasure she was desperate for.
"I need to go,"
Cleo said quietly, and she suddenly glanced at me with narrowed eyes. "Oh," I said. "Where to?"
"Away from here,"
Cleo said, and she got to her feet as she kept her eyes on me. Her hand hovered by her blade, and she stared up at the flying gargoyle. "Maybe we can meet again," I said. "I have to go back home for some supplies, but I'll be back to explore as soon as I can. You've been really great, and I could buy you a coffee or something if I bring some coins. They might not look right, but I'm sure they must be worth something here." Cleo's tail twitched as she stared out at the city, and I had an overwhelming urge to stay and help her with whatever she was doing. I could tell she wanted to keep clear of the city and the gargoyles, and I didn't blame her. If she wasn't in this elite, rich asshole club, then she was probably a hell of a lot safer sneaking around in the woods instead.
"You seem kind,"
Cleo said in a quiet hiss.
"But you know that I can't believe all of this completely. I hope it's true, and I wish you well, but you might just be a very clever hunter."
"Hunter?" I asked. "Are people hunting you?" Cleo tilted her head as she smiled slightly, and her ears twitched as I spoke.
"Liam,"
she said,
"I wanted to speak to you because you are obviously an outsider like me, but it is very difficult to fully believe."
"Catgirl!"
I spun around to see the huge gargoyle woman floating just above us. She had flown around behind us over the trees and was now hovering in the green sky as she waved her arms. Her red-stained mouth was open wide as she screamed, and her wings were barely keeping her in the sky. She pointed at us with a crusty yellow nail as her voice echoed out over the woods. Then Cleo hissed and began to sprint up the hillside, and I raced after her along the muddy grounds.
"She's escaping!"
the gargoyle wailed.
"Guards! Catgirl! Get her! I want that one! I want it! Now!"
The gargoyle sounded like a toddler throwing a tantrum over a candy bar, and her unbearable wails made me shudder. There was a stampede of footsteps from the city behind us, and I glanced back to see the hordes of the frog-legged men race over the cobblestones toward the woods. Their sturdy legs moved quickly, and they yelled at each other as they pointed at us. "Shit!" I hissed as we ran upward. Cleo's lean legs raced at lightning speed, and she didn't make the faintest noise as each of her brown boots hit the ground. She was so light on her feet that I couldn't hear a single twig snap below her, and I understood how she had managed to follow me without being noticed. The girl had some serious stealth skills, and she was so swift that I had to watch for the flick of her black tail between trees to keep up. We ran through the dense forest, but then I suddenly heard another group of footsteps coming from up ahead. I recognized the stamping of the guards as it rang out through the twisting trees, and I knew we were about to be sandwiched between two sets of the fuckers. "Wait!" I yelled as I made a giant lunge and managed to grab Cleo's arm. "I think there's more of them coming toward us!" We skidded to a halt as four more armed guards emerged from the trees in front of us, and I pulled Cleo off to the right just as they started to charge. The gargoyle woman howled with rage as she started to fly and keep up, but she was far too slow to follow us, even with her wings.
"She is mine!"
Duchess Sobler screamed and barreled through the black leaves.
"Catgirl is mine! You will be punished if you don't get her! Kill the other one! He's stealing her!"
The gargoyle swung her body around to try and follow our movements, and some of her heavy jewels flew off her thick neck. She shrieked as her accessories were flying, but there was still enough gold on her body to sink a ship. Then, something shiny tumbled down onto the forest floor ahead of me, and I bent down to snatch it as we ran. I shoved the cold metal necklace in my pocket without slowing down, and there were now roughly 30 guards chasing us with spears. My book wasn't going to get me out of this one, and I knew we couldn't outrun these guys for much longer. I was relatively fit from walking to work every day, and the occasional gym visit, but I would have to be an Olympic sprinter to escape these fuckers. "Where are we going?" I asked as we raced across the black leaf-covered hillside.
"I have a hiding spot,"
Cleo hissed.
"Up one of the ancient trees. It's only about 2 miles away."
2 miles? I belted. "We can't outrun these guys for 2 miles. I know somewhere much closer."
"But I don't know you,"
Cleo snapped.
"All of this talk of being from another world? It sounds like a made-up story, like a trick."
"Maybe I'm the one that shouldn't be trusting you," I panted as I struggled to keep up with the swift woman. "Clearly you're some kind of wanted person."
"Get her!"
The Duchess spat from behind us.
"She's getting away, you idiots! I need her in my collection! She must be mine!"
"Collection? Did this crazy gargoyle woman have a pile of catgirls stacked up on her island? What exactly was she planning to do with Cleo?" "Why does she want you?" I asked. "And what the fuck does she mean by her collection?" Cleo opened her mouth to reply, when a gremlin appeared out of the trees and soared toward her with its teeth mashing together. "Shit! Get down!" I yelled, and she ducked right as I swung my book. The nasty gray creature slammed its whole body into the hardbook cover, and there was a loud crunching of bones as it slipped down onto the ground. A flurry of gray wings to our right told me that the little fuckers had come back for revenge, and I fumbled to grab the deodorant can from my bag again. Cleo easily slipped her curved blade out as she ran, and then two more gremlins managed to catch up with us on their leathery wings. "Watch your eyes!" I yelled as I pulled my aerosol out and pressed down on the button. A cloud of oak-scented mist sprayed into the two creatures, and they both screamed as their eyes closed up. Then Cleo swung her blade in one swift motion, and she cut through their throats in one fluid swipe. Both gremlins were beheaded before their wings had stopped flapping, and their bleeding bodies scattered to the ground with their detached skulls. "Holy shit!" I snorted as I slipped the deodorant into my jeans pocket. "Nice!"
"We're coming up to the creek,"
Cleo hissed.
"Get ready to jump."
"Creek?" I asked. "I didn't see a creek before."
"It runs towards the coves,"
Cleo said.
"Ready?"
I didn't have time to ask what I needed to be ready for, but Cleo grabbed my arm as we suddenly reached a pale river. It was so dull that it almost blended into the dark ground, and it was about 4 feet wide. We jumped over the river as we gripped each other, and I heard a sudden splash behind us. I glanced over my shoulder to see two of the guards had skidded into the water, but the rest of them didn't even stop to help. They leapt over their fallen comrades easily, and I heard a crunch as one of their bodies was used as a bridge. There were still a bunch of them in hot pursuit, but four of the fastest ones were just a few feet behind us. Their bronze armor gleamed under the green and purple sky, and I could see how deathly sharp the points of their weapons were. I knew we wouldn't reach the doorway without them catching up, and my palms were sweating at the thought of fighting them off with a book. "We have to do something," I said through gasping breaths. "They're about to get us!" I spotted a thick, fallen branch coming up, and I grabbed it from the ground as I spun to face the oncoming guards. They were close enough for me to smell their putrid breath, and I swung the length of wood right into their legs. The thick branch smacked their knees, and two of them crashed down to the ground with furious snarls as their weapons went flying. Then I grabbed a spear that had fallen from one of their hands and leapt back as the two who were still standing jumped at us. I held the spear in one hand and my book in the other now. My weapon game had just leveled up. Cleo swung her blade expertly across one of their throats just as he raised the spear, and he gargled up blood as he fell to his knees. I gripped the wooden shaft of my stolen spear as I stabbed the other attacker in the face, and I felt an unpleasant crunch as the blade penetrated his skull. My spear had smashed right through his forehead and pierced his brain, and the guard's eyes rolled back as I clumsily yanked the blade back. There was thick goop dripping down the weapon, and the stench of blood stung my nostrils. "Gross," I muttered as I smashed the weapon down onto one of the guards who was struggling to get up from the ground. The spear pierced his shoulder in the gap between his chest plate and arm protection, and he wailed as blood oozed from the wound. I quickly pulled the blade out, and then delivered the final stab directly into his throat, and he flopped face down onto the ground before I wiggled the spear free with serious effort. Cleo kicked the other guard in the head before she slashed her curved weapon down on the back of his neck. Blood erupted everywhere as the guard died, and I wiped the droplets from my eyes with the back of my hand. Then we spun around to keep running, and we had now put a good bit of distance between us and the next approaching attackers. Duchess Sobler continued to wail off in the distance, but her screeches were too far off to hear properly.
"You fight well,"
Cleo said as she glanced over her shoulder.
"Have you used a spear before?"
"I can't say I have," I panted. "First time."
"Where is this place you know of?"
Cleo asked without missing a step.
"It won't take long for the guards to catch up."
"Top of the hill," I said. "We're halfway there." All I could think about was getting Cleo to safety. Something inside me just desperately needed to get her away from those guards, and I was full of adrenaline as we raced up the hill. I had only just met her, but I wasn't about to let her get captured by that gargoyle woman's cronies. Another gremlin drove out from the trees beside me, but I swung my book up instinctively to meet its face. Its head was just above the cover, but the impact against its body made its belly burst open in a rainstorm of guts. Something slimy hit my cheek, and I quickly wiped my face as the beast stumbled to the ground. "Oh, I hate those fucking things," I grunted.
"Me too,"
Cleo said.
"But they're everywhere in these woods."
I glanced back to see the horde of guards raising uphill on their bent legs. We needed some kind of stalling technique. I knew we might not get another chance to slow them down before we found the door. Then I spotted a boulder up ahead that looked just big enough to cause some chaos. "Go to that rock," I said. "We can push it down onto them." Cleo's golden eyes widened as she spotted the boulder, and we raced over to the gray rock as the rain started to get heavier. Then I skidded to a halt, hastily shoved my book into my bag, and stabbed the spear into the ground. We both pressed the bumpy surface with our palms, and I grunted in the effort of getting the damn thing moving.
"It's stuck,"
Cleo grunted.
"Liam, it won't move."
I kicked the dirt beside the boulder to loosen it as much as possible, and I shoved my full body weight against the large stone. The huge rock was dislodged from the mud, and it began to tumble down the hill at an impressive speed. I grinned as I saw the panicked guards stop in their tracks. The boulder smashed right through the middle of the group, and several of them screeched as their bodies and limbs were crushed into the ground. It was like a bloody game of bowling as the rock crashed through the armed bastards, and it carried on rolling down the hill with no signs of stopping.
"Yes!"
Cleo cheered as the armed men scrambled to get out of the way.
"Marvelous thinking, Liam!"
A bunch of them were on the ground, howling in pain, with squashed feet and bloody legs. There were only about 15 left in the group, and I let out a whoop of victory as I snatched my spear and started to run again. I felt high on life by this point. I was starting to get the hang of this whole magical world thing. "Nearly there!" I yelled as we reached the steepest point of the hill. "Just a bit further!" Cleo hissed, and I looked over to see two guards had appeared from over the top of the hillside. These fuckers really were everywhere. Their legs moved at a terrifying speed as they raced down the slope, and I grabbed Cleo's arm to pull her to the left. I could see the gray rock face just a few feet away, and the faint outline of the doorway was just barely visible. Part of me had been terrified that it might have vanished, but now I knew we were inches away from an escape route. The rain started to get even heavier as we trudged onward, and the ground below us became difficult to run on as the mud worsened. "Follow me!" I yelled. "Just a few more steps!"
"That's a dead end!"
Cleo cried over the strengthening wind.
"Liam, there's nothing there!"
"Trust me!" I shouted. We ran up the slippery hillside as the thunder of footsteps echoed out behind us, and I was about to push against the rock face when Cleo let out a furious, cat-like yowl. I looked over to see a guard had grabbed her wrist, and he pulled at her as the others tried to catch up against the wind and rain. "Let go of her!" I shouted, and I yanked my aerosol deodorant from my pocket. I didn't trust my spear skills with Cleo so close to her captor, but I leapt at the armed guard with my deodorant can, held out and ready. He went to swing his spear, but I just beat him to it as I sprayed a cloud of mist straight into his eyes. The frog-legged creature howled and dropped Cleo's arms to rub his red eyes, so I grabbed the catwoman's hand and shoved my body weight against the hidden door with all my strength. We tumbled through the exit of Hollowfell, and I felt relief wash over me as my feet hit the carpet. The door slammed shut behind us, and I pulled Cleo down the hallway as we kept running. Our footsteps echoed out through the dimly lit corridor, but then I realized there were no other sounds to be heard. I slowed down just before we reached the end of the hallway, and I turned around to see we hadn't been followed. We breathed heavily as we dripped rainwater everywhere, and I slowly let go of Cleo's hand to look at her. The beautiful catwoman stared around the hallway with wide golden eyes, and her ears twitched as her gaze fell on me. Neither of us spoke as we caught our breaths, and I stared over at the closed door with the glowing outline. I was back on the 13th floor of my office building, and I had fought my way through a horde of monsters to get here. Hollowfell was real, and I had just saved a gorgeous catwoman from what I assumed was going to be a brutal death. I had wanted adventure, and I sure as hell had gotten my wish. And as we stood, dripping with rain and blood in the quiet hallway, I knew my life had just changed forever.